Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you have tuned in today and that you're in the building today, amen, to get a word, to understand the word of God, and to get what we need from the word today. What an awesome day to be alive. We give God praise, we give him honor, we give him glory. We bless his name because truly God is great and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, what an awesome God we serve. We thank you, Lord God, for this another day you spared our lives. Hallelujah. And we want you to know that we are located at 5883 Highway 155 North in Stockbridge, Georgia. Hallelujah. Where our co-founder is Archbishop U.W. Smith and our senior pastor is Bishop Kevin J. Jones. We are so glad for God's mercy and his grace towards us. We magnify him. We glorify him. Because truly God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I can't believe where we are in the month of August already. Hallelujah. We are past the halfway mark of 2021. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We honor him. We glorify him. And I just feel good in my spirit today, amen, about what God is doing with us. And so we're going to open in a word of prayer. Hallelujah. We'll open in a word of prayer. We'll ask Pastor Ann to open us in a word of prayer.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We give God glory, give him praise, and give him honor for today. And we thank God for what he is doing, and we thank him for his awesomeness and everything that he's doing in our lives today.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Father, let's pray, everybody. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless you, we honor you, we glorify you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. You are great and you are awesome.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. You are the great I am, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace, Lord God. You are the great deliverer, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord God, for standing with us, leading us, guiding us, oh God, showing us your way, Lord God, helping us to walk in your spirit and by your anointing and by your power, Lord. We thank you for it right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that is here and those that are listening in, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you will meet them at their need, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that as the word go forth on today, that we will receive it, Lord God, and that we will live thereby. And we give you glory and give you praise, Lord God. Bless our leadership here at the church, Lord God. Bless each and every person that's connected with the light of the world, Lord God. We thank you for it, and we give you glory and we give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. You deserve the glory and the honor. Lord, we lift our hands in worship as we praise your holy name. For you are great, you do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. For you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you. I'm going to clap your hands for Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We bless God today. We thank God for his mercy and his grace. We are in Acts, the 28th chapter, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Hallelujah. We thank God for, hallelujah, for what he's doing, for what he's about to do. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord God. You're worthy of the praise. You're worthy of the honor and all the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for what you are about to do in this place right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the Prince of Peace. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the Deliverer. We thank you, Lord God, that you are the one and only God.
Hallelujah. Amen. We're in the book of Acts, and we are the last chapter of the book of Acts, and it's so ironic, not ironic, it's purposeful that God has these particular things that culminates the book of Acts and really is a demonstration of everything that happened in the book of Acts. And so we see how in this last chapter where Paul and all these prisoners and the soldiers are on this ship, and God told them that, you know, give them a word that, listen, be of good cheer. You're not going nobody on the ship is going to die. The ship's going to be destroyed. but nobody on the ship is going to die. And so the place where they land, the place where they were shipwrecked, was a place where God needed a revival. God had some people there who needed to know who he was. And so God steered that ship to this land, this island called Malta, and they were filled with natives. They said Brutus people who are, you know, they might be headhunters, I don't know. But they began to act generously and kind to Paul them. Now, knowing they're prisoners, knowing they're soldiers and not a part of them, they entertain them. And so God is setting up now. Watch how he's setting up this revival that's about to happen. And just the same way he did in the first chapter of Acts, I said last week, the second chapter when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and it become an uproar and it draw attention, and then Peter was able to get up and preach. And so as he preached, then we saw 3,000 got saved. Then we saw in the third chapter of the book of Acts, we saw where Peter and John was going to the temple, this man begging, and God worked a miracle. And so out of that miracle, it caused an uproar. It caused questions to go on. Now Peter then had another opportunity again to preach the gospel. And now 5,000 were saved. And so we can see all through the book of Acts where God is causing attention to himself. You know, when we have been raising our kids, we say, don't cause attention to yourself. be quiet, be subdued. But we see where the Holy Ghost is causing attention to the disciples. And every time something happened, it was an opportunity to preach the gospel. Even when Paul and Silas was put in jail, that was an opportunity for the Philippian jailer and his family to get saved. And so we see now when we come down to where Paul is on this island, and these natives are there. And so God has a way to bring out who he is in us. And so we see where when Paul was gathering some sticks for the fire, this viper latched onto his hand, and Paul just shook it off. And the natives in their own self now are religiously saying that, uh-oh, he escaped the sea, but justice is coming his way because now he's going to die. he got away from the sea, but because he's a prisoner, he done wrong, so now death is going to hit him anyway. And, you know, sometimes people think that you are wrong based on what people say you are. People will condemn you based on what they hear others say about you. But we see where Paul was not concerned about none of that. He was just doing the will of God. So we see where God now have him. He just shook the snake off and put him in the fire. And God would allow you to shake things off of you and put them in some place where they're going to be consumed. They won't have to bother you now again. Hallelujah. And so after that, now they switched their talk. And now they say, oh, he must be a god. Now, first he was a murderer. He was all this other stuff. Now, all of a sudden, they switched their talk and say, oh, he a god. But now God don't want anybody to get his glory. So God got to move them a little closer to identify who he really is. And so we see that's just how the Holy Ghost works in our lives. It teaches us who God is. It puts us in circumstances so we realize who God is, not who we are, but whose we are. And so now Paul is going along, and so we see now when they saw this, and then we see the richest man. Now think about this. These are prisoners and soldiers on the beach. And the richest man in the island recognized the God in them, and so he began to come and entertain them to his house. Now, bringing prisoners to your house. But ain't that just like God? That when people label you something, people who have influence will see favor in you and give you favor. Because now they're on this island, deserted island, only the natives are there, and they are prisoners. But the richest person, no, I didn't say one of the richest, the richest person on the island called and welcomed them all to his home and entertained them. But the real thing, see, look, watch what God does. Now, I'm telling you about how the Holy Ghost leads us and how he works out things, right? So don't get lost in that. But see how now this rich man had a need. Oh, my God, I'm getting excited. He had a need, so what he did was he gave. And if you give, it shall be given back to you. Good measures, pressed down, shaken together, rust, all this stuff, right? And so he gave of his substance. He called prisoners in his home, but he knew that there was something about that group because of one that was in the midst. And so his daddy was sick with a fever. He is entertaining strangers in his house. But God now heard, I had Paul to hear that this man was sick. Paul went and laid hands on him. The man got well. After the man got well, now see the thing is, God had to choose somebody who everybody in the community could recognize. I mean, see how strategic God is doing this? If it was one of the natives that got healed, maybe nobody would have known that he got healed. But because this prominent man's daddy, you know, if Barack Obama had a father and something happened to Barack Obama's father, you don't know about it. And so the thing is now, God is having this set up where healing could come to somebody who is prominent. So now the word gets out that there's a miracle worker in town. So it's the same way when everywhere Jesus went, the news got out. You know, he turned water into wine over there a couple of days ago. He raised them in the dead. So all of a sudden now we have multitudes begin to follow Jesus, right? So it's the same way now Paul and them got, they started a revival. And it says that all, many. I'm going to read it. And so when this was done, others also, which had disease in the island, came and were healed. Look, verse 9. And who also honored us with many honors and departed and laid us such things were necessary. Meaning that now, because they got healed, they brought gifts. Now, look at these prisoners, man. Now, prisoner, all you need is bread. Well, back then, you got bread and water, right? Now they call it a hot in the cot. three hot in the cot. But God blessed them now, where all of a sudden now they got stuff coming to them. Remember, they was on the ship, right? They had to fast because it was kind of terrifying. They couldn't eat. Now God brought them to this place. And, you know, when you first land in a place that you see natives, I mean, not just ordinary natives. These are headhunters. Fear come over and you think, oh, like the natives this say, we escaped the sea, but now we got these guys, right? But God already planned everything out that he was going to work a miracle on. This island, God, they could have stopped it any other island. But God had a plan where they would stop to this particular one because he knew that the people there were in need. And if this father was healed, everybody else was going to get healed. And that's just how God works. He wants everybody. He said he wished that all none perish, but everybody to come to repentance, right? And so it says that after that everything that they need was met. Now them prisoners may not have been saved. They ain't no God. The centurion, they wasn't saved. But because of Paul, God blessed them all. He said everything they needed was supplied. Everything they need. And that's what God will do for us today if we just let God have his will and his way. And don't grumble and complain. Paul didn't complain when that snake bit him on the hand. He could have said, oh, my God. I mean, I just got out of the sea. Goodness gracious. Why everybody always picking on me? And that's Charlie Brown. but he didn't complain. You didn't. All he did was shook that snake off and kept going. And that's how we have to do. When stuff attaches itself to us that's not like God, all we have to do is shake that thing off. People would put stuff in your head, would send out spirits against you to attack you, but you got to just shake that stuff off and keep going, because if not, he'll kill you. He'll kill you. But if you have the Holy Ghost in the inside of you and it lead and guide you and let you know, shake that thing off in the fire and keep moving. Paul didn't stop moving. He didn't complain or nothing. He kept on going. Amen. So now we come down to verse 11. And so we're going to ask, any comment on those? Any comment on those?
Those verses? Even though this is the same way God still operates, and it lets us know that killing flesh daily is definitely a must.
Just a must.
Because if you don't, how can the spirit come into you?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, it's amazing how flesh to be killed daily is in the word. But it says nothing about spirit, because you don't have to worry about it. Because that's just the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
The killing of the flesh is the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wow. I said, on my way today to come to Bible study, it was like the road was being paved. It was two cars in me. I had it in my mind, everything that I was going to do. I'm going to do this for ministry. I'm going to stop here. And everything just, I said, I got to go because I know it's something there for me to get there. But it was just the way of getting here. I didn't let my circumstance like, oh, I'm just going to go home. I'm not going to go. No, I got to get here. I got to stop these other stops. But it's amazing how the more you do it, the more it becomes your natural thing. You know, it's not, I'm fighting against this. It's just my spirit. This is the right thing to do. This is the right place to go. And he got you.
That's right.
He got a plan.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's right. That's right.
He got the plan, and I love it.
Yeah.
You know, you say that, and when I train basketball,
okay.
We something we call all athletes as muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you do anything, the easier it becomes because it becomes a part of you because it's muscle memory.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to think to do it. You just do it.
Mm-hmm.
My mama said it becomes second nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how we have to do. We have to every day practice pleasing God, practice waking up, rejoicing in the Lord. Practice, and the more you do that, it becomes muscle memory.
Yes.
That you don't do it out of just, you got, oh, I got to do this. No, automatically you do it because it's out of, and that's what the Holy Ghost does for you. They give you that unction, you know. And so as you begin to yield your members, the Holy Ghost then has the power. You give him the power to take over. But until your flesh gives the Holy Ghost the power to take over, he ain't gonna take over. He's a gentleman. And so we got to make sure that we just let the Lord will be done. And it's easy if we do that. He said, my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. But we trying to pull that train by ourselves. And we know we ain't Superman. So let's do verse 11 and 12. Elihu, get it?
All right, then. Amen. Good to be back.
Yeah, thank you.
I have the national, the standard, American standard. At the end of 3 months, we set sail on an Alexandrian ship which had wintered at the island and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. After we put in or on into Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. So before, when they were trying to winter at another place, that wasn't the right place. That wasn't the right place, and they had to set sail. And I don't think if they had spent the winter there, that the kind of blessing that was coming to them would have come to them. So even though they thought they had lost all by not staying, where they were before to spend the winter, and Paul said, no, you know, let's go ahead and move on out. Here it said that they wintered there on the island. So for 3 months, you know, they were there, and which had the twin brothers for its figurehead. I'm not sure what that was. I studied that, so someone can expound on that. And then they went on to Syracuse. We stayed there for 3 days, and then eventually, you know, the journey would take them on.
And those of you who are online, if you want to participate, please press 1 on your phone so we can bring you live and so you can be a part of the discussion. Just press 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you live, and you'll be able to interact with us on this lesson. Now, you know, back then, they always had it's just like a logo or a trademark. Back then, if you were a Viking, you had a certain, on your stern, you had this head of whatever. And so these two brothers were significant back then, so they had this logo, for lack of better word, on the ship. But the thing was, they stayed there and on this island for 3 months. And so they were sustained for 3 months. And they were not even prisoners at this time, only in word. Well, won't God do it? That when you should be confined, you'll be free. And so they stayed there this 3 months, and after the winter season was over, they stayed there till, and then the ship came into port, so it can take them from where. I mean, God got a way. This ship, it didn't just happen to be there. It was sent there by God to carry Paul where he needs to go. And so God, when you're talking about God making a way out of no way, because during that time, no ship should have been traveling. But God had this ship to come by just to take Paul where he needs to go. And so
Alexandria ship.
Right.
They were the elite line that came to the rescue, so when he was first, even from Agrippa, you know.
Yeah.
They thought it was an Alexandria ship. So,
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with
The Lord will put you in class on it. You know, it's amazing. We when we was in Florida, we rented this car for the week, and didn't let it give me a free upgrade. So I was in a BMW that I didn't know how to operate. It was so funny. I got to the gate. I was able to stop, and then I didn't know how to move.
Yes.
But God would upgrade you.
Amen.
But no, there's no cost.
Mm-hmm.
So we see where Paul and them had an upgrade. I mean, they were riding the best of ship. I mean they were on Norwegian. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, any other comment on those two verses? If not, we go to 13 and 14.
Those of you online, you can press 1 so we can have you participate with us. Thank God for you being there. Appreciate it.
13, and from this we fetched the compass and came to, what is that? Regum, and after one day, the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Putalum. On 14, it says, where we found brethren, and we desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. They ministering to everybody, aren't they? They stayed a while. So anytime you find that you are staying a while, you're doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody want to hear what you got to say.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you tarry, you're not in a hurry to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent 7 days, and before that they did, what was that, 3 days, and then they did, what, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good thing when you spread the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's somebody to hear, and not only to hear, but it's you spreading the word as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a teaching for you.
Mm-hmm.
And God always got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying out of this plan, sometimes we such in a hurry. And so God, I mean, and Paul is a clear example of how he's just resting in God. Because he was told he's going to go to Rome, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't say all this stuff in the middle was going to happen. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't told that you're going to be shipwrecked. I mean, he didn't. So all this stuff is going to happen in the middle of you going to Rome, but you're going to Rome. And so when God tells us that start that business, that don't mean tomorrow the business is going to just pop up. I mean, tell you to write this book, that don't mean tomorrow it's going to be on the shelf. And so sometimes we get too much in a hurry because God want to do some things before we get to where he wants us to be. Because starting that business, God wants you now to get responsible, to be a self-starter. All this stuff he's trying to get you to do before you start that business. But you just want to start the business. But there's some things you got to do before you're able to do that. Right? And so, but God got a way to get us to do what we need to do to help us. And so I looked at this how that I see where Paul and stopping to different cities was necessary for the gospel's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with Paul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was for the gospel's sake. The gospel had to be in those places. As he just went by, God had him to stop by. He could have went straight through him.
Mm-hmm.
But God wanted to make sure that the gospel, he native.
Mm-hmm.
He know about God. Let's see the miracle working power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now they know who God is. They thought it was Paul first. Now God revealed himself to them. So God has a way, when he tells us to do something, if we just ride with him. Mm-hmm. Like the surfer, just ride the wave.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get where he wants us to be. But and every person we're responsible for is going to be blessed. Because mm-hmm. you know we're accountable for the other people that been assigned to us.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So wherever they are, he going to get us in those places.
Mm-hmm.
Paul wasn't planning to be in these islands where these natives were. But that's where he needs to go. Because mm-hmm. those are people who are assigned to him.
Mm-hmm.
He,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought after the other island, and then they came up here to the Putuli, and they found brethren
mm-hmm.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking, no doubt this is a part of what happened from the day of Pentecost,
yes, yes.
when they all were there, and they went back, and here he is
mm-hmm.
on his way to Rome and
mm-hmm.
find some brethren in this city.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said again, now, no doubt, and this is just me thinking, that these brethren who were there needed some refreshing and needed somebody who know what they know to refresh them. So here come Paul and that's just like God. That's just like him. Sometimes we feel like we've been whipped down, we've been beat up, and we just feel exhausted, and we done prayed, and now we don't know what the answer gonna be. But here comes somebody. I mean, even if they don't give you nothing, just their presence refreshes you. And so that's how I see it as. These guys been on this island. Been laboring and been doing a great mission, and here come Paul and them to give them some refresh and encourage them to keep up the good work. Hallelujah! And so that's just what God do, and that's how the Holy Ghost leads us wherever we. If we let the Holy Ghost lead us, and you know, when somebody pray, you are the answer to that prayer. God ain't coming out the sky no more. He's going to answer through us. Even when the scripture said, when you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measures, pressed down, shaking together, running over. To who? Okay. It didn't say ain't coming out of the sky now. We are the ones who going to give the good measure. We're the one who's going to do the press down and shake it over. We're the one who's going to do that. Right? And so we got to be totally tuned in with the Holy Ghost so we can be led.
Yeah.
We can be led by what God wants to happen in the earth, because that's your purpose. That's your assignment. And so we got to make sure that our hearts and our minds are in tune with what the Holy Ghost wants. And no matter what comes up, we just say, have your way, Holy Ghost. This thing look crazy right now. Woo, it don't look good right now, but I'm trusting you. You said, come on and do something. Because it look really bad right now. But I need you to come do something. And I guarantee you the Holy Ghost will. He'll come in and you'll say, wow. My mom used to sing a song, we'll understand it better. And sometimes when you look back over stuff, you say, man, that's why that happened like that. And you see how God made it happen. It didn't look like it made sense while it was happening. You probably was rebuking that and pleading the blood on it. But it was God all the time, right? Working that thing out. And when you look back over your life, you start saying, man, if God didn't put me over there, this and that happened over there where I was going to be at. But God spared it. I mean, I've left home. I've been trying to leave the house. I mean, one morning I was trying to leave the house so bad, I couldn't leave. And finally, when I finally got out of the house, there was an accident at my entrance. And I said, Lord, is that what you're shielding me from? But if you let the Holy Ghost lead you, my mama said, let him lead you all the way. And so God himself will work for us
if we allow him to do just that. So these brethren were there and were desired to tarry with them 7 days. And we went towards Rome. Now, finally, Paul is gone towards Rome. So when things don't look like it's going like you want it to, don't worry about it. God said, I have a plan. I have a plan for you. And that plan is to prosper you. It ain't to hurt you. Good and not evil. So if you allow God's plan to work in us, you'll be better off for it. And so let's read verse. Anybody, any other comment on that? Let's read verse 15 and 16, right? Yeah, 15 and 16. Sister Tim?
15.
And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Apple, Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. Mm. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. Oh, well, this right here, that first verse 15, you know, Paul was just excited because not only did he bless others, he was blessed too. And he was giving thanks to God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I feel good, you know, I've been revived,
mm-hmm.
you know, not only giving but also receiving.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure the centurion that was taking Paul there, he was glad because he got the prisoner there. Alive, so you know he got this prisoner there alive. So he said, "I'm taking him and giving him over to you."
Mm-hmm.
So he know that his life been spared,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing that you were saying, they done been through so much, you know, shipwreck, you know, didn't know how they were gonna get there, but he made it.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that he made it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know,
no, I was just saying,
yes, private.
Mm-hmm.
And so just how I was saying earlier how God has a way to refresh us. And like you're saying, Paul, they had been through, I mean, Paul's stuff, they didn't start on the boards. It started before that. He got whooped. I mean, they got, I mean, they, and the folks out to kill him, they were on a path to kill him. I mean, they really wanted him dead.
Mm.
And so, but after all of that, God has a way in the midst of our situation, he refreshes us. And Paul seeing these brothers, when he saw them, you know, some people, when you see them,
yeah, right.
It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, some people,
mm-hmm.
you don't want to see them. But some people, when you see them, it refreshes. Like I say, they don't have to give you a dime.
Amen.
But just their presence can refresh you and make you feel so good and so that Paul was encouraged. And he began to thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that when we came to Rome, the centurion. Now Paul always has special care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God will do. He will give you special care.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Being a prisoner, he said, I'm turning all the other prisoners over to the centurion, to the captain of guard. But Paul, he had kept by himself. So rather than being treated like a prisoner, he was treated like a guest. rather than being going with all the other prisoners, in the dungeon or the barracks or wherever it's going to be kept. No, he kept him. My. Won't he do it? he would keep you even in these kind of times. And so let's go to 17 and 18. 17:18, yeah.
After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, "Brethren, though I have done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." What was that? 17 and 18. Oh, all right then. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me because there was no ground for putting me to death.
Mm.
Amen.
Mm.
So, like you said, this is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Not only mindset in the other verse, he was allowed to stay by himself with only one soldier there guarding him, which was different from when he first was escorted, you know, with all these hundreds of guards, 40 and 200 and whatever it was. And so now one person, but just the fact that said, wait a minute, Paul called together the leading men. Wait a minute, how he
do that?
How you do that? And you wait a minute.
Hey, you're
supposed to be a prisoner. Yeah, you're supposed to be a prisoner, and you ain't even known. But it said he called together the leading Jews in Rome. You know, like he was, you know, somebody, or he was, but no doubt, because they already was hearing about Paul and the phenomenal thing that was happening. But I tell you one thing, you know somebody's telling the truth when their dissertation doesn't change. Where he goes, hear the same exact story. You know, he didn't vary from what it really actually happened to him and to the fact that even after they tried to prosecute him, they couldn't, and they had to release him because they didn't have any grounds of putting him to death. They really didn't have any grounds of you know, putting him in prison or making him a prisoner. But they had to do something because of the disturbance, you know, that was going on about what he was preaching. So I just thought this was just something, you know, he called together the leading men and the Jews, leading men and the Jews, and began telling them what had happened to them. So I thought that was really kind of crazy here, but nonetheless, God will do it. He'll do it. Amen.
Amen.
So I was thinking back when Festus called for them.
Yeah, right.
For Paul to talk to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Agrippa called for them. Now, he don't have Agrippa. He don't have the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he do it himself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Paul is not, I mean, God is using him, no matter if he's using other people to get the audience.
Mm-hmm.
God is bringing the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like we said all through the book of Acts, you don't have to want to try to preach on this pulpit.
Because
God will prepare a pulpit for you.
Amen.
Wherever you are.
Mm-hmm. That's
you
right.
A perfect example. Wherever you are, he'll prepare.
That's it.
Festus call and say, "Yo, come.
Mm-hmm.
All stuff, y'all."
Right.
This one call this one. Agrippa call a group. You know, so no matter what happens, and then when I'm sure after the healing service, they ain't just got healed. They got a word. They got delivered. They got set free. And so now Paul is one calling. He's still a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he can write to the church and say, I'm a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And he really was physically a prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say in ourselves that we're prisoners, you know, so we want to talk like Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul was a physical prisoner. Because he was actually condemned as a prisoner, right? And so God would provide you a platform, not for you,
hallelujah,
but for his word to get out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You don't have to come, oh, I ain't got nowhere to preach. I need to preach. No, let me tell you. You ain't going to be talking, oh, I wish I could. No, God got a pulpit ready for you. The thing is, are you ready for the pulpit? God got it ready for you, but the problem is you ain't ready for it. Because if you're ready, Paul was ready. If you're ready, because God don't want his word going to shambles. He wanted to go forward with power and the anointing. And so when you get ready, the pulpit will be ready for you. It's waiting on you. Notice, these people were in these places, these different islands, waiting on Paul. they're waiting on him. They done prayed, and now they wait. And here come Paul showed up.
Discipleship, doing holy convocation. Next level discipleship.
Mm-hmm.
And we were saying, okay, yes, we do have to keep witnessing, mm-hmm, to people and bringing people to Christ and everything. We have to win the souls, but we just can't just leave them there. We have to disciple. And that means now spending time with somebody, regardless to how they are, or how their attitude may be, and maybe they're not doing what you want them to do, but you have a word from God that you need to share with them. And some of the things are strategic things, like prayer. You want to teach them how to pray. Teach them how to trust God. Teach them how to lean on God. Teach them how to live holy and sanctified. Teach them those things. And you don't stay with them always doing that. It's a period of time. So I see what these guys was going through and giving some word out, and during that time that they was with the men, they were sharing God's word, and so that was what they needed. And I believe that God kept them right there, Paul right there, all of them right there together, long enough for them to be disciples.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we have to do. We have to disciple people,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the call. You go. I'm getting ready to say, I see that too. You know, it's just like coming here,
mm-hmm,
to the Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
It is a true ministry for, mm-hmm, me, in, mm-hmm, the sense of just listening to the hour that we have,
mm-hmm,
and hunger for the hour,
mm-hmm,
and just seeing things. And,
mm-hmm,
just an opportunity, what you were just saying about how you don't know where you'll be, but you'll have to minister.
Mm-hmm.
I had a cousin that called me over the weekend,
mm-hmm,
and I said, just come to the house. And she came over, whatever, and she was talking about a marriage. And I was like, oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But I was ready for her, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, because I'm team marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever's going on, how somebody acting or whatever, I said, I got to do what I got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to bash him. I'm not going to bash you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you his word.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know the Lord. You've had an encounter with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let this foolishness, distraction, or whatever's,
mm-hmm,
going on,
mm-hmm,
change your course.
Mm-hmm.
I said, your mama birthed this into you, and it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
When I started talking to her, she over there quoting scriptures, and I was like, God just getting all the glory. And she just sitting there, and I said, you know what? I said, your husband's operating on your anointing. I said, that was part of one of the words that we got,
mm-hmm,
with Bishop Jones. And I said, people don't understand that, but when you move away, that anointing ain't flowing no more.
Flowing,
I said,
like,
oh,
that.
He going to get his senses together. I said, yeah, but you ain't got to do nothing. You ain't got to be mad. You continue to be the wife,
mm-hmm,
and the woman that God called you to be.
Mm-hmm.
This too shall pass,
mm-hmm.
whether he leave or whether he stay.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you got to do what you got to do.
Mm-hmm.
I said, God,
that's
you
right.
So good. I was ready. Look, I was
ready.
I mean,
you were ready for
it. I mean, it knocked me out, but I was like, I got to preach to this girl because she young.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and she got some time in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thank you for that. You mm-hmm. own it, look.
Awesome. That's good. That's good. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Because it ain't really about us.
Yeah.
The
mm-hmm.
person who needs us.
It's somebody else.
They need,
yeah.
They don't need us. They need God
mm-hmm.
in us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we talk about the acts of the apostles,
mm-hmm.
it means the acts of the Holy Ghost in the two of the apostles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay, I kept holding it, but I'm gonna try to make it short because you know, I just got back into town.
Yeah, welcome back.
Islander trip first,
yeah.
Saucer, and then it was. But I won't give the first. But the first part of that was that he did. I'm there supporting someone else and doing and sitting in the service, and all of a sudden that mm-hmm. pastor walks over and hands me a mic and said, "We're gonna ask this elder to finish up and bring." You know, word of knowledge or whatever, prophetic, whatever. And I was like,
gee, you were ready, though.
I didn't think I was.
I know
God,
you were ready.
God was ready.
You were
so
ready.
That was that. I won't say it was said. But coming, then there was another incident. But the last leg of it, just before getting here on that flight, something happened.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know what it was on the flight coming back. Uh-huh. And so then announcements came on. I kept seeing some lights and blue lights going all down. I said, man, that thing keeps sounding, these alarms, they weren't going off. And so then the captain, he announces that, you know, you got anything there, so put it up. He said, we are you know, experiencing something here, and we're going to ask everyone to listen to, you know, stories and stuff. But, you know, I told you the incident where every time I get on a flight, I recommission
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I recommission it to the Kingdom Flyer. Because I'm a saint that has purpose and destiny, and I know I'm going to fulfill it. So I had done that already. And so then they come to say, it was a lady just full of hysterics, just knees, body convulsions. She needed bags and everything because we were turning. But he said, well, we're going to find the nearest airport. They're working with us, and we had to land at JFK.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, we were going back in, and they were giving instructions, and I was praying, and I was looking, I said, okay, it's going over water. Then the Holy Ghost said, it's not going to be a water evacuation. Because the lady was there, and I had to get rid of that myself. And so then I said, oh, thank God, it's not going to be water evacuation. So the guy, he said, well, how do you know? I said, just trust me. It's not going to be that. And so it was a newlywed couple there. And that's who it was, his wife. And so then we were seeing a little bit of land, Holy Spirit said, oh, you're going to land on, it's going to land on the runway. So I told the girl, don't worry, we're going to land. We're not going to crash. They were preparing us to the point of everything. So I said, I just took my glasses off, put them on purse. I said, y'all need to take your glasses off. I said, and put them in, and then tighten your seatbelt a little bit tighter, you know, just for the centrifugal
mm-hmm.
force.
Mm-hmm.
And so then she said, why we got this? Well, you don't want anything happening, your glasses, blah, 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 accident or something. 30 seconds later, the flight attendant said, anyone who's wearing glasses, can you take your glasses off? We'd like for you to tighten your seatbelt a little extra. And she looked at me. And so all of that kind of stuff was happening and everything. And they were, you know, he came on and said the EMS, the fire people, they're all lined in the runways. They wait for us. You know, brace yourself. They showed us how to get down and how to do the crash. Prepare for your crash landing and all. And I said, well, God is not giving me a spirit of fear, but I was still trying to speak peace and calm and say, do you mind if I lay hands on you? Speak peace.
Wow.
So she really needed, they needed it. And so then we did that. And so then we got there, and we did land. It wasn't anything wrong with the aircraft because I had spoken that. And come to find it was something else, somebody in the bathroom vaping, using the set off everything. But the thing is that the Holy Ghost was telling me all this stuff,
right.
And I was relaying everything to
Tom, people.
Yeah, to calm them down. I didn't know the people in front and back was listening. Because this guy, he was a student of theology, archaeology, and all that kind of stuff, studying the Bible, all the places, and doing digs in Egypt, and they was going to go back to Egypt. The point is, he was studying it from the letter of the law. He didn't have a demonstration
of
Holy Spirit, because he was trying to say, well, I don't believe too much in all this. I'm just doing this research of the Bible because of this thing. So God had me sitting right in the seat next to him, and everything the Holy Ghost was saying, and she kept on, how'd you know that? And I didn't know that this man needed an actual, physical demonstration that there was a Holy Ghost.
Because I know.
And when I wasn't shutting up about Christ and Jesus, I prayed to him in Jesus' name. When that thing hit that ground,
the lady
sitting in front of me, I saw her fist come back to give a fist bump. And the other lady said, praise the Lord. I said, hallelujah.
Oh, my God. Wow.
We had a two-hour delay.
Can you imagine, man? That's it. I know he testifying.
I've been hearing him talk to the man across the aisle. He's supposed to be a preacher, but I didn't say anything. Other than that. But I tell you, when those lights and things start, and they started doing those emergency landing and crash procedures.
Oh, my God.
They should have arrested whoever was in
there. Oh, that's a federal.
Yeah, that's crazy. They
asked, was there any officers of the law, military personnel, anybody on board that could come up front?
take him on offer then.
Yeah, they got him.
He started a lot of but even though, just think about it, he was in that bathroom doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It caused all of this commotion.
Mm-hmm.
But that man got what he needed because you was where you were supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So still, that scripture works, don't it? It's going to work out for you good. Those that are love the Lord and is the call, even going through all of that scenario, the good came out of it. Oh my God! Jesus!
Tighten
your belt up. All of that.
And then they said, "Right, wasn't even a half a minute."
Wow! Awesome! God is in charge. Jesus!
This is not gonna be a water landing.
Look, that's a good one right there.
When I said there's nothing wrong with the plane, we didn't know that until a half an hour after we were there, and all the electricians and all the people had to check it from top to bottom. And then the pilot, before we left, he said, "There, I'll let you know this, the plane's absolutely safe. There's nothing wrong with this."
Awesome.
But the second thing is our system works. The aircraft is safe and our system works.
Jesus.
Thank the Lord.
The captain was on. The captain. Captain up front, but the captain up there.
I'm telling you, this word is not a fairy tale book. It's not a fairy tale book. Yeah. And God got a way to reach. Now, you don't even know this man from Adam.
No.
But God. Just like these barbaric natives on this island was minding their business. Here come this ship crashing on their shore. But only to help them. Only to be a blessing to them. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I forgot what verse. Amen. I think we stop at verse 18.
That's what she read, 18. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We stop at verse 18. So we start at 19. I'm telling you, this is getting gooder and gooder. Thank God. Thank God for this word. Amen. And thank God for his demonstration of the word in us, that we don't have to say, something that happened 10 years ago. You can see the identification of it now, the revelation of it, the power of it. Amen. That even in the day, we can identify with the Word of God and what God is doing in our lives. We thank God for this. We're going to turn it over to Pastor Ann so she can do the offering and dismiss us.
Yes, we are going to want everyone to please give an offering. cash. I also have my the square here that we can use. You can write a check or whatever. And those of you that are online, we want you to go on and go to the Light app and give, and then text the amount that you give to me at 770-906-0607. That's 770-906-0607. We thank you for everyone that has given, and Father, we thank you, bless you, and honor you for it, Lord, that as we give today, that you will give it back to us, pressed down, taken together, and running over, shall me and give it to our birth.
Amen. Dismiss us.
Amen. And we thank you, Lord God, and we bless you, and we thank you, Lord God, as we leave this place, Lord, that you will be with us and help us to return back tonight. If those that will be coming back, Lord God, we bless you and honor you. Thank you for this word that we have heard today. Help us to be prepared, and we are prepared to come in contact with those that you want us to meet. We have a word for them, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen.